Welcome to Insomniacs.
We're your hosts,
Myra
and Jenny.
Hey Myra, how's it going?
Oh, you know, nice and springy, getting warmer outside. How's it going with you?
It is. I'm loving the springy, but today the apartment complex that we live in sent us a notice that right now they're starting the repairs on the pool for the coming spring pool season, which is so depressing because the weather was finally getting warm enough. It's a heated pool that we might have been able to go up and start doing laps again. And when they sent the note, they're like, hey, so sorry about that, but starting on April 6th, the pool's going to be closed while we redo the deck and the pool itself in advance of our annual inspection. We don't know how long, but I guess you'll find out. And I get it, but it was a little bit, it felt like the wrong timing for that.
That is a bummer.
So we had just started talking about trying to figure out when we'd go up and start using the pool again. And
I mean,
the
to be
notice
fair,
was a bummer.
That's like, you got like 9 days.
It's true, we do. So There is hope, but then it'll be gone for who knows how long. So Anyway, we'll see. We'll see. That's about it for me.
Oh, okay.
So what have you been up to sewing-wise?
I have not been sewing, which is very sad. I am lost in a sea of schoolwork, so I've just been schooling, and it's been great.
Just keep swimming.
Ah! And then I've been in a bunch of kind of meetings lately, so I've been knitting in my meetings, so I've been knitting a lot, but not sewing. I'm about to finish knitting for the first time a sweater-like item. I only make hats.
You have knitted a vest before.
I don't remember that, so it doesn't count.
Yeah, you knitted a vest when you were probably 7 or 8 years old.
That does not count because I don't remember it. So for the first time in my memory, I am knitting a shrug.
It has color work and everything.
The hybrid between a shawl and a sweater.
I think that's great. Good for you.
Because I've also realized I can't keep buying yarn and knitting scarves because I have one neck and I don't actually like wearing scarves that much.
It's a problem.
I wear like 2 scarves for the entire season. So it's time to let that one go and maybe make some cute vintage sweaters. I found a book called Hollywood Knits.
Yep.
And my God, do I want it. Hollywood Vintage Knits? Vintage Hollywood Knits? I don't know. It's in my Amazon wish list now. But I want to make vintage sweaters. There's also a vintage Repro knitting company who does very fun, rebellious style knits that
they
I want to
have
make.
Copies of Hollywood Knits almost always at McKay's. The next time I go, I'll take a look.
I would love that because it's in my Amazon cart right now.
I will take a look. I think that's really exciting. You were quite an accomplished knitter at such a young age. Almost everything you did in tarsia or other forms of color work. One of your first knitted items was like a little map picture of a farm.
And there was like a, I remember there was one that had like mountains with little stars. I put beads in it somehow. I don't remember any
of
this really.
You were quite the prodigy, I thought.
An adventurous knitter.
Absolutely. I think that's the way to be. For me, I've been, try not to be too surprised.
Making a skirt.
I've been making a skirt. And as we wrote the notes up for this, the skirt was almost done. It is now done. I haven't tried it on yet. So I'm excited to get to that. But it's so, so close, and it is a fabulous skirt. It is made, you just got some of the leftovers from this, from a twill from Spoonflower that is a giant field of waves with squids, and then it also has some whales and some paper boats.
Wow.
But it's pretty close to monotone. It's
That's
mostly
an adventure.
Blues and teals with the little boats being red.
Okay.
Which I think means, if you think about this, squids, whales, waves, and a little paper hat boat, one of those little hat boats, I can wear it with t-shirts from the movie It. I could wear it with t-shirts from Godzilla, because giant creatures, right? Mm-hmm. I could wear it with any form of shark movie t-shirt.
That's also true, yes.
Yeah. And so I'm very excited about this.
You've got a lot of options.
You might ask yourself, do you own any of those t-shirts? No. And the answer would be, I do not.
But your husband does.
He does, and I keep telling him the next time he's cleaning out his t-shirts, maybe I'll take some.
And you can cut them up like me.
That's right.
Then you can be like me.
I can get the old Generation T book that you used for a lot of your cutting up.
There's a lot. You can cut the little slits and then tie them back together. That was like my favorite.
Right. It will be amazing. I'm so excited by this.
It's hot.
So, for sewing news, I found an Instagram for people who follow who are excited by the idea of frock tails. There's a new account called Everything Frock Tails on Instagram. And if you go on and hit that up, they are continually trolling, looking for other Frogtails events that are being held so that they can start saying, hey, it's 2 weeks away from Miami Frogtails, it's 4 weeks away from Chicago Frogtails, etc. It's still a relatively small account, and they need your help where you tag them or DM them any Frogtail you're aware of. But I think it's a really great idea because those events are a lot of fun, and I know people who travel to go to a lot of them because they really, really enjoy that mixing of creative folk.
Very cool.
This is also the time to remind you that Atlanta's Frogtails is coming up on May the 4th. Its theme is Secret Garden instead of Star Wars. I'm confused by that, but I accept it. And I still haven't started sewing anything to wear to it, but that's not
reasonable.
News so much as it is expected.
Yeah.
But our topic this week is one that came to us from a listener via our Patreon. So if you haven't checked out the Patreon, pop on over.
Wait, really?
Yes.
How do you access that? Was it a message? Did they leave a comment?
It's on Discord.
I'm on
Patreon. They're members of our Discord.
Wait, that's how you get to the Discord?
That's how you get to the
Discord. I don't know how the system works.
Oh my God.
I thought the Discord was just like an open thing.
Well, it is. It is kind of open. It allows for memberships that aren't tied to money, so people can participate, I think. You can either use Patreon or you can use Discord.
So then how?
I don't know. We'll have to read some more.
Why?
Either Patreon
is
$0.
Why are you giving me intergenerational trauma right now?
Oh my God.
Ear rest. It's officially ear rest time. So for those listening still, my mother would just loudly in the car scream, ear rest! And what it meant was that my sister and I must be silent because her ears needed a rest.
Now, if you recall that I'm hard of hearing now, maybe this is somehow karma's getting back at me, but I gotta tell you,
now,
it was so much for my brain to
process
at once.
I am now connecting that to a situation in the car with Natalie last week, where I love my daughter. She is the light of my life.
Too.
She is the light of my life. And my God, do I do so much for her. I love her so much. And simultaneously, I picked her up after work and I took her and we were going to Burger King and we were going to order some food at Burger King and we were ordering through the app because I had a coupon and you can get money off that way. So,
mm-hmm.
You know,
apps
living that
are great.
Woohoo. And so I was doing that and I'm putting in the order in the app and she's like, mama, 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 today in school, we learned the times table. So I learned that 12 times 1 is 12 and 12 times 2 is 24 and 12 times 3 is 36. Loudly, very rapidly, all of her times tables for the number 12 while I'm trying to type in her order to the app. And then I put my hand in the back seat and I said, you must stop.
Ear rest then, is faster.
And then I finished it because she went, oh, and then she stopped talking and I finished the order. And then we got the food. And then once I had eaten the food, for I was hangry, I then said, I am sorry for what I said when I was hungry. But my brain was in sensory overload. She's mm-hmm. like, oh, I know. We've talked about sensory overload. And I said, oh, cool. I'm glad you know. And then we were fine. But I am now realizing I basically ear-rested Natalie. And was mm-hmm. like, for the love of God, stop telling me the multiplication tables you know.
And so now you know why it exists.
I'm
even
so
if it's
proud.
Not appropriate, but you know why it existed.
So proud. But maybe don't tell me about it when I'm trying to order.
Yeah.
After a long day of being an accountant.
There's only so many words some heads can take in at once.
Stop talking to me.
Yes, I hear that.
Anyways.
I'm sorry that ear rest traumatized you, but it stopped me from driving into ditches. So
the call of the void is strong when you're hearing a lot of numbers.
Oh my God, it's so hard.
Cool. Anyways,
I have no idea what we were talking about. When
I don't
got to
know
that.
Either because we got off on a tangent because you
but
said
you know
something
what?
To me that was rude.
It's okay because we
fine.
Talked about Frogtails and we're ready to talk about the suggestion we got from the Discord.
Oh, right.
That's associated.
Wait, so how
with
does
the
Discord and the Patreon work together?
I don't know, but I'm going to give you my best guess.
I got it. I'm ready.
Okay, my best guess
is 12. 12 times 2 is 24.
I don't know that I'm going to be sorry for what I do to you while I'm hangry. My best guess is that you can sign up to Patreon. And I think there's a $0 level where you're allowed to read all the things on Patreon.
I don't think so.
Okay. Well, I thought there was, I think you can see some of our things just by showing up at Patreon. If you join Patreon, one of the things you get is access to our Discord server. And the Discord server is where we are trying to build a community that is super small, because so far it's you and me and one other person.
Yeah.
But that one other person has a lot of power, because we said, what would you like to hear about? And they posted some ideas.
Oh, that's where this came from? I thought you just like pulled this out of thin air.
Nope. They came up with some ideas, and I've started adding them to our calendar. And the first one is leveling up your sewing. And the question is, like, what would, what techniques, what tools or materials have helped you to level up your sewing? And so I wanted to start with just, what does that mean? Like, when you hear the phrase leveling up your sewing, what does that mean to you?
I think it means like reaching a new skill level, like a new bar. You're getting better. You're not a beginner. You're an intermediate or a master class.
And that's a question I get asked often, because I do pattern tests. And one of the first questions in a pattern test, besides, you know, your name,
what is your level of sewing?
Is what's your sewing level? And it's usually beginner, intermediate, advanced, professional. And there's not usually a lot of definition next to any of those. Mm-hmm. Right. And so the question is, and for me, what I do is I look at what they're testing. Oh, elastic waist pants. I'm advanced or professional. Like, that's a thing I can do the heck
out
of.
Sure.
Right. But if it was a 3-piece suit with welt pockets and other stuff, I'd be like, I think I'm an experienced intermediate. Like, I'm feeling okay about that, but maybe I'm not your advanced tester. I'm not going to really be able to tell you if your method for welt pockets is being done the best way it could be done, because I don't know enough. And so that's sort of where I see the concept of levels in sewing. And I agree with you. I think if you're leveling up, it may not be your whole sewing practice, but it might be, like for me, learning to iron those zippers, the invisible zippers. I leveled up from zippers you can see that pretend to be invisible invisible zippers, yeah. Right? Instead
Pretty
of,
cool.
yeah, sneaky zippers. I had sneaky zippers, not invisible zippers, and now I have invisible ones. So that's like an example maybe of leveling up. It didn't change my overall practice, but it definitely improved my zippers. So I'd say for me, I agree with you. I think it's that improvement in one or many skill areas.
Well, and then as a cosplayer too, there's also kind of a slightly different like metric, I guess, because if you're a cosplayer who chooses to compete, there's also this idea of like the levels within competition.
Yeah.
Although most of that is actually determined by either years being a cosplayer or awards won at other cosplay contests determine your kind of designation.
Yeah, no, that makes total sense as well.
So then what level are you?
I think I'm actually an expert. Like, I don't think I'm professional. I think there is a difference there. And I think I could be if I wanted to be, but that I don't necessarily want to take the extra time to put all that additional things into it. But I think for almost anything you hand me, I can go ahead and make a pretty decent one with a pattern and no instructions. Like, if you just hand me a pattern for that 3-piece suit we just talked about, I could probably get there in a way that people would not say, oh, you made that. They would start with, where did you get that? Instead of, oh, you made that. And I don't think there's anything wrong with people looking at what you're making and thinking, that looks like a good effort. I don't think that's the end of the world. I have lots of clothing that look like a good effort instead of looking expert or professional. I'm not judging that in any way, but I think there is a difference in sort of that appearance. What many sewists are probably aiming for is when someone says, where did you get that? And you say you made it. What you really want someone to say is, oh my gosh, that's amazing. I can't believe you did that. Versus say, oh yeah, I see that now. which is sort of the insulting version of that.
Yeah.
And so I view myself as mostly expert. I think there are some spaces where I can always use some improvement, and I'm actively aiming at classes to try and do that. I do know I can make a darn good buttonhole, but I don't like to, right? I can put a good lining in something, but I don't like to. I can do all these things, but there's a bunch of stuff I don't care to do, which is different than being good at it. Where would you put yourself?
I think I would say somewhere between like intermediate and expert. I don't think I'm quite at like full blown expert, but in some things I think I am. I'm definitely not a beginner at this point, because I've been sewing for a very long time and have sewn a lot of very complicated things. But I also am a very what I think of as a like a niche sewist. Like, yeah. I don't sew broadly. I sew very intensely on specific types of things, and I'm really good at those things. But then it means I don't have like the broad, as much of the broad knowledge, fair. Which is where I think I don't quite hit the expert level because it's not quite broad enough. But also, I can talk to you a lot about pockets from the 1890s.
Yeah.
And I can make a damn good one.
Well, and I think there's a piece of it that is just repeated participation in a particular type of pattern or skill set that just moves you along the bar over time. But there's also, like, there's a piece of education. Before I would call myself professional, there's couture sewing techniques mm-hmm. that I need more education in. There's just a bunch of stuff that's sort of those final last little bits of details. Like, yeah. I can put a nice bias waistband into something, a bias-faced waistband into something, but I don't think you'd mistake it for a professional one. It would just look really, really competent. And that's, there's a step there in terms of improvement of hand sewing, improvement of pressing technique. And literally when you're down to the technique question of it, I can press most things pretty nicely, but there is technique associated with using the hams and the clappers and things like that to get
so
exactly perfectly pressed whatevers. And I'm pretty darn good at it, but I'm not professional at it. Mm-hmm. Nobody would want me to do it on a professional basis from my perspective. What has not worked for you in terms of skilling up? Like, what have you tried and thought, damn, that was a waste of my time?
I despise, honestly, reading techniques that don't have pictures. So I need like clear photos of what you're doing or like line drawings of what you're doing. But I don't want like you explaining some complicated technique to me and then showing me like a cute clip art graphic of a shirt. Like, I need you to like explain to me what you're doing. And I also hate podcasts in that same way. I've tried listening to sewing podcasts that are about technique mm-hmm. and I cannot because I have to look at the thing. And yeah. so if I'm not looking at it, you're babbling in my ear and I'm just using you as lo-fi background music while yeah. I'm doing my job.
I think I don't disagree. That's been my experience of sewing podcasts because a lot of them, unlike this one, are actually aimed at really strong educational or foundational sewing information, which I think is really great. There are lots of people who learn well through that methodology. But for me, generally, that's not as successful. I've also found that I think YouTube is my favorite learning source, or Craftsy, or any of these other types of
video
yeah. or live learning. Like, I'm headed down to Atlanta in April, and there's a sewing class one of the days that I'm there.
When are you going to?
And April 17th to 20th. Okay. And one of the days I'm there, there's a sewing class for making a hat that I've made before. It's a bucket hat that I have the pattern for and I have made before. And I'm going to go to it because it's got some fidgety things. It's an intermediate class. Most classes tend to be beginners. So I love that I found an intermediate. And I'm gonna learn the fidgety parts of it, the pieces of it that for me felt more difficult.
Funky, yeah.
And so I'm really excited about that, even though probably 90% of the class is nothing new for me. Mm-hmm. I'm going to get that 10% that gives me one more nudge towards an improved technique on something that I don't do commonly. I don't make a lot of hats. So
no.
I'm pretty excited about that. But I agree with you that if it's not live or in person or visually like in person, I don't necessarily do so well with that. And so if you're looking at what did, one of the things I can recommend is there's a YouTube channel called So-So Live, S-E-W-S-E-W Live. Mm-hmm. And the woman who manages that channel does sew-alongs for, like, she's probably got hundreds of them at this point, hundreds of different patterns that she's done sew-alongs for. And they are really great because in some of these cases, they're things where she is just learning herself as she does it, how to sew something along, right? Like, she's never made the garment before. And as she does it, she's like, okay, I don't know that that's how I want to do the collar. What if I did this? Let's find out. And then she'll take you through that process. And I think it's really, really impressive. I love her So-So Live stuff.
Yeah. I was just looking up, cause I was thinking about another YouTuber that I follow, but her website link seems to be possibly down. So that's a little bit of a bummer. Who is Evelyn Wood, who does Vintage Sewing School.
Mm-hmm.
And she's got a lot of great free YouTube videos that are just all about different types of technique and different, like, showcasing different techniques. She does a lot of thrift flips, which is really cool.
Oh, that's kind of neat.
Yeah. But she obviously focuses on vintage garments or vintage styling to some extent. But I know she's gone through some health things recently. So she's, I think, taken somewhat of a step back. But yeah, she's been kind of a delight to follow on YouTube, and I've learned some really great techniques from her.
I think another one that you might be interested in specifically is Velvety Cleopatra, and she does have a YouTube channel. She's a plus-size sewist who does a lot of the Gertie patterns, but primarily sews vintage garments for herself, and her YouTube channel is pretty good as well. So I can definitely recommend Velvety Cleopatra. And again, primarily plus-size, but her favorite is vintage and pin-up styles. And so she's got a 61-inch hip, and so a lot of the things she'll do will accommodate that. Mm-hmm. And she's one of the folks I spoke to when I was making, there's a Gertie dress that's appropriate for a stretch velvet. It's a wiggle dress. And she has made so many of them that when I made mine and the sizing was...
wonk.
It was really bad. Yeah. Like, really bad. I'm in her sizing, I'd normally be a 24 to 28 spread. And I made this dress as a 24 straight, and it turned out I needed a 16, which is a significant difference. Yeah. And I reached out to Velvety Cleopatra because she'd made so many of them. I'm like, okay, help me out here because I'm about the same measurements you are, and this is not working for me. And she's like, oh no, you've got to go way down.
Yeah. And anytime that Gertie works with a stretch fabric, her size chart becomes completely garbage. So I have in her size chart, I cut a 4 often in stretches, but in her regular woven type garments, I'm cutting more like a, usually like a 10, 8 or a 10. But that's disparity in the sizes that I'm selecting is definitely a concern.
Yeah.
If I see the garment is made out of stretch, I instantly will not cut.
I totally understand. So I think YouTube can be a really great resource, I guess, is what it comes down to. And it's mm-hmm. a matter of looking and finding the channels you love. Aronica, who is somebody I really love, her channel is called The Needle and the Bell. And oh, yeah, I think she makes some really great tutorial videos. And that's definitely worth following. I'm sure there are others. So be sure and tell us about them when you listen to this podcast, because we're always looking for something else to follow as well.
Yeah, definitely.
What do you want to try next?
For me, the thing that I like, that's the next step I want to take, is I want to learn more about drafting. So I've done some drafting before, but most of it's kind of a chaotic, how I often have learned almost everything in my entire life is just chaotically trying to do it. And then when it fails, trying again. So I've done some drafting. I have drafting tools like the French curves and all the rulers and whatever. And so like, I've got the stuff to do it, but I've just not sat down and like made it a priority to like learn how to draft. And then adjacently related to this is that vintage style thing that I never remember the name of.
Lettero?
Maybe. Is it the one with the little boxes?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I have some of those from Italy that I got off of Etsy, which I thought was extra fun that I'm going to attempt to try this new drafting-ish style
in a different language.
Yeah. In a completely different language. But God, are they beautiful. And they're from like, they're like authentic vintage ones from, I want to say, the 40s or the 50s. With a bunch of beautiful styles in them. I got them like printed nicely in like a ring binding at like FedEx, and I've done nothing with them for 2 years. So after I graduate, one of my goals is to actually go ahead and try to make some of those and see what a catastrophe happens, or alternatively, it might go well.
Yeah.
I have some little faith, not much faith, little faith.
I mean, it did work for people
but
in the 50s.
They're beautiful.
Yeah.
And I want to own some of these gowns because they're just so pretty.
It did work. I think the key is this is going to be one of those where doing some reading, mm-hmm. looking for some YouTube videos on it, and following the instructions, even if they don't make sense, is probably going to be the right answer.
We're going to see how we do.
Yeah.
I think that'll be a level up moment for me if I can successfully do that and sew through some of those and learn how to piece together with minimal instructions and a lot of faith.
YouTube.
It's going to be great. But I'm going to have some gorgeous vintage pieces are going to be happening for me.
I think that's amazing.
Yeah.
For me, I'm moving on to Brooks Ann Camper's next class, which is about tops.
Oh my God, I can't wait to have every episode you tell us about the new top you're sewing.
I don't know that that's going to happen. I'm already feeling really stressed out by even trying to come up with the measurements that are needed in order to create the flap pattern. So we'll see. I'm a little bit behind because the class started this week and it just hasn't been my week for coming home and working on it in the evening. So this weekend, I'm hoping
Easter weekend.
I might be able to catch up because we're not really Easter celebrators, so that makes it a little bit easier. So I'm hoping to catch up on that. Because once I finish the tops class, now I have everything I need to make dresses, which is what I actually want to do, is to make dresses. Like, I'm, you know, enjoying making the skirts as I am now, but I don't need those to be a long-term thing. I'm okay with moving straight on into dresses right after that. So I'm pretty excited about that. I think there's a lot of potential there. I'm pretty excited about it. I'm also doing some pattern testing, as I mentioned in the last episode, and I'm really pretty excited about that too. I don't do a lot of pattern testing anymore because I need to be paid for my time, and I need to either feel there's a great benefit to the community to having this pattern tested because there aren't many like it in plus sizes, for example, or I have to actually like the pattern for myself because I don't get as much sewn right now, and I don't want to waste time on something that might not ever go on my body again after I've sewn it. So that's sort of where I sit there in kind of a selfish space regarding that. But I'm hoping that this top class is really going to propel my sewing forward.
I like it. I will be excited to hear all about your tops.
I appreciate it for months and months and months.
Yep, it's going to be great.
What else do you think there is to say about all of this?
I don't know that there is much more to say about all of this right now. Although I guess our delightful Patreon Discord listener could tell us if we have sufficiently discussed your topic or if
Absolutely.
We have completely gone off the rails into a very different direction than what you intended.
Hopefully not. I can say that I've asked in a couple of places what kinds of topics people would like to see, and some of those will be coming up in future episodes.
Woohoo!
So that's pretty exciting. But until next time, I'm Jenny.
And I'm Myra.
Good night.
And sleep well.
We know we won't. Insomniacs is created, performed, edited, and produced by Jenny Hassler and Myra Ashland. Please check us out on Instagram at Insomniacs, at J.O. Hassler, and at Atomic Baby Cosplay. You can find our community over on patreon.com/insomniacspodcast as well.
Good night.
Sleep well.
We know we won't.